Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Bread is bread and cheese is cheese and management in 2021 ain't such a breeze. Welcome to the Football Ramble, dear friends. It's Monday the 12th of April. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
In Britain, everything is open. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Why are you here? Why are you not in a pub?
We don't know they're not.
We still got to work.
Yeah, yeah, mostly that.
Yeah. But what a lovely day to go in the pub garden for the first time.
Yeah.
Woke up, snow. Piss take. Absolute piss take. That is a joke, surely. You wake up, you pull
it's
the curtains back. Yeah, I feel like Charlie Austin. I feel like Charlie Austin. And you look out the window and it's snowing and that's the game. Pathetic.
Mm. Yeah. No,
I can't believe
it. Good point. So what can you do today? You can go to shops.
Yep.
Yeah. Get your hair cut.
Lovely.
Mm. Get your hair cut. Yeah, don't look at me like that. People in glass houses, Mason.
Yeah, no, it's actually fair.
Professional makeup artists on every other day.
Yeah, you never bring them along, do you?
Yeah. Jim doesn't even need a professional makeup artist. Look how great he looks.
Yes. He's glowing fantastic today, isn't he?
No, it's all Photoshop.
Oh, ladies glow.
It's all Photoshop. It's all Photoshop.
Men's sweat. Anyway, you were going to say something else about how great Jim is.
Boring, probably. Yeah. I'm fed up with complimenting Jim now. I think we need to go around the way the internet normally works, it goes through a phase of loving something and it starts hating it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When's Jim going to get the hate?
Yeah.
I guess people are going to start naming their kids after him. That's probably going to happen
next.
Send
in the backlash, I guess.
Yeah.
Show at footballramble.com. Yeah.
Get in touch if you don't think Jim looks great. Yeah? Because we've heard one side of the story. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, don't be so basic. Stop lusting after gym, everybody.
Yeah.
You're all weird.
Nah, I've lusted after gym before it was fashionable, though.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
What year did that start for you?
Probably, well, 2007. Yeah, when I first met him. Yeah.
That's really nice. Hmm. How do you feel to be such a sex icon? To Luke?
I don't really like to be thought of as a sex symbol.
No.
I'd really prefer people concentrate on my work, you know.
No, Jim, you don't want that.
You can make quite good money in the old foot photo market, Jim.
So I've heard.
I'd keep it rolling. If
Let's move on from that for your sake, okay?
Yeah, Jim's feet. That's too far.
Yeah, football
awful thing.
.com. All right. So you're getting ready to get out there. You want to go to a shop. You've already been to all the shops. You've spent all your money and you're drunk. Perfect. Mm.
Do you sense that someone's trying to not talk about Spurs, Luke?
Yeah, I do actually, yeah. And we did have a discussion about this in the pre-show production meeting, to which Kate, first of all, tried to recuse herself and secondly said, well, I'm just going to set it up for you guys to talk about it anyway, so don't worry about it. She hasn't even done that.
No.
She hasn't even set it up for us to talk about. She's not even fulfilled the basic promise she told us she would.
Yeah.
There was a game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium that Spurs lost to Manchester United, who were vastly better than Tottenham, I think it's fair to say. Tottenham are seventh in the table and they probably have lost their chance of Champions League football. Manchester United were very good. Anything else?
Yeah, you could have not bothered coming in. Yeah. We could have just patched her in.
To be fair, though.
Pre-record that.
That it was impressive, though. It makes me wonder if you even need an auto-cue at Sky Sports.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if they were vastly better. They were certainly better in the second half, weren't they?
Yeah.
And I don't know what Spurs, what's happening. So I like to envisage what must be happening at half time in the Spurs dressing room, because it's the seventh time this season they've given up a half time lead.
Yeah.
It obviously happens all the time. What is Mourinho saying to them at half time?
It's like, I feel like he's saying, right, the plan is we're going to go 1-0 up, but then we're going to try to lose. And then they're all like, is this a mind game? Like, there's surely got to be some reasoning behind this, because that appears to be their game plan. Like, they just, the numbers show it as well. They just sit deep, they try to shut up shop, but those players aren't, that's not to their strength.
Shop shutters up.
And they don't want to do it. Clearly, they don't want to play that way. I mean, Spurs are playing to their weaknesses at the moment.
Why? Yes, what happened to playing to your strengths, guys?
Exactly.
What happened to that?
There's so much attacking talent in that team. And,
it's so
and
weird.
Trying to get a second goal, at the very least, is going to help you get the best out of that.
So that's the answers you guys have got. The two I had were, while Giles Sacramento is distracting them, he's putting their shoes on the wrong feet. And secondly, he's made up in a PowerPoint presentation that he's kidnapped members of their family.
Yeah. Again,
apparently neither of those have happened, though.
Did he ever really leave Chelsea? This is what we've got.
Well, basically, you've been referring to him as a
sleeper agent.
Yeah,
I definitely think he is. There was a really good piece that Jonathan Wilson did in The Guardian about the idea that the moment you knew that Spurs' season was not going to turn into a good thing was when Spurs lost 2-1 to Liverpool at Anfield.
Right.
Because his...
Why didn't you say that at the time, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Well, we could all be wise after the event.
Theory is that the 14 minutes from the end substitution of Bergwijn for Sergio Reguilon is symptomatic of basically this entire issue. Which is the kind of thing Jonathan Wilson can say and people don't laugh at him. But do you see what he means?
It's
definitely what you're talking about as well, Jim. This idea that instead of trying to be expansive and trying to get more goals, you shut up shop, but we can't really.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So I haven't read the article and I will read it later because I'm a big fan of Jonathan's work. Is that they? What I would say is they just cede control of games. So whether it's a substitution that kind of triggers that or whatever it may be, they seem to continually just cede control. And I think I don't really know why they do it given the profile players they've got. Given that, you know, if you look at this, at least at one point yesterday they had five really attacking players plus two quite attacking fullbacks. So they had Reguilon, Aurier, and Ndombele likes to get forward, Lo Celso, Moura, Kane and Son.
Yeah.
Yet they're trying to not attack.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Lo Celso had a quiet game. I wouldn't argue that,
coming back from injury, right?
that substitution was negative. He brought on Sissoko for Lo Celso. I think that was more like a performance. I mean,
he brought Bale and Lamella on as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And even Kane drops deep a lot to sort of help out.
when but that's a cool part of his game.
I think it is a cool part of his game. That's a cool way to phrase
it. Is it cool? I don't think Harry Kane's that cool. He's not cool, is he?
I don't think we should be starting on Harry Kane, Luke. I don't think the three of us should be starting on Harry Kane. I don't think we're in a position in our house of glass where we should be telling people they're not cool.
True,
come on.
That's fair. Yeah.
This man's the England captain. Come on. He's cooler than anybody we've ever met.
Just want to see him stand up straight.
Yeah. What did you think of the decision then for the first Man United? For the first Man United goal? Because to me, that was interesting to say the least.
Yeah.
Very, very strange.
This is what I think.
I opened my.
Foul. It's a fucking foul.
I opened my window and just shouted, "Goat's gone! Goat's gone!" Yeah. I just smashed everything up in my house, which I think was a reasonable reaction. Yeah. Similar to the one I've seen
from
most
places. Who are you shouting to then?
Just football.
Okay, right. You're on your own. There's no point shouting, is there?
It's the dog.
Yeah.
He's not there at the moment. He wouldn't understand anyway. But
although you said that, like
he does understand. Do you remember when he talked in that pod we did?
He did actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I can speak his language. Dogs sneeze quite a lot, and they do that to show you that they're playing.
Sneeze.
Really?
Yeah. That's why they do that.
Jim.
Yeah. I sneezed at him, and he looked at me like he looks at me in the same way I'd look at him as if he had said to me, "Hello, mate." It was mad.
Really?
He did a double take.
Like
he couldn't believe his luck.
Something.
Yeah. And then he ran downstairs and nicked my slipper.
Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah, apparently. Couldn't speak to one specific dog. But yeah, it's not a foul, is it?
No.
It's not a foul. And I
you can't hit people in the face, Jim.
No,
I'm telling you.
I understand that.
If you look at it again, he's trying to push off Son, who's also tried to foul him. The only reason his arm goes out is because Son's hand goes across McTominay. Mm. And he's trying to shake him off. And the other point is that actually that's a bit of a red herring anyway, right? Because as far as I understand it, and Kate, you're much cleverer than me, so you might be able to tell me I'm wrong, which will be annoying actually, because I've been looking forward to saying this. It doesn't actually matter. It's whether it's a clear and obvious error or not.
Mm.
That's the VAR kind of threshold, right? And it's not a clear and obvious error, is it? Clearly.
If he hasn't given it as a foul,
it's not.
In the moment.
But the other thing about this is really annoying. I don't know if referees and like officials can actually afford to do this, but sometimes I just think, just look at the optics. PR yourself better here. You know, think about this properly because,
Luke,
you know, we're going to talk about a game later where someone literally got booted in the face and that wasn't VAR. Yeah.
That is an unfortunate comparison, I would agree.
Oh, what an amazing postscript. Who could have seen that coming? Oh, everybody.
Yeah. But we are now at a point where I think what is and isn't a foul and what is and isn't dangerous play has been moved in such bizarre directions that we all fall into the trap of going, oh, you've seen them given because you see stupid things given, like when players brush heads and one of them or both of them fall over and you go, oh, it's just the thing footballers do.
They always fall over. I feel like we should hit in the face by the ball boy the other day.
Yeah.
Can we rewind on that
and stop that from happening? Yeah. And can there, I mean, you know, just because Son's gone over doesn't mean they have to give that the kind of
so what
benefit
level
of
face hitting
think,
would you like to see as being not foul?
Ideally
then.
None. Yeah. Like I don't think anyone should be hitting anyone in the face.
Fine. So you agree with me then?
Yeah.
What was your point again?
I told you you should have recused yourself in this conversation. You were supposed to set this up and let me and Jim talk about it properly.
But do you think it was a foul then?
I don't think you should be. I don't think you can infer. It doesn't matter anyway. But I don't think you can infer blame for. He's hit him in the face.
Mm. Yeah, that's but he's accidentally hit him in the face.
I don't care.
But contact in football happens all the time. It doesn't mean it's a foul. You can have comings together.
I think faces
not
are different, aren't they?
Do you think if you were running alongside Heung-min Son, you're both out for a jog, and you've gesticulated fairly wildly and you hit him with that force, he would fall over and
that's
he would then need 3 minutes to get over.
No, it isn't. I'm sure you're aware.
Can I just say also, knowing Kate well, she would definitely do that by accident as well. Gesticulate wildly.
Trying to make a point, Luke. It's not an aggressive gesture. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But whether or not he falls over, I mean, you've got to fall over, as we know.
Well, again, this is the sort of thing I'm talking about. Like, we kind of give so much kind of... almost credit to the idea of players going down because otherwise they're not going to get the free kick. I feel like, you know, diving and play acting and things maybe aren't getting punished anymore because it's just being sort of seen as part of the game and it's frustrating.
Yeah. People who don't like football really hate that.
Yeah, they do, absolutely.
And people who like it hate it.
It always takes me by surprise.
It's hard to disagree with them, isn't it?
How much of a main thing that people find it to be.
Yeah.
They'll be like trying to watch a game of football with you and if they don't normally watch it, they'll be like... Oh, why is that happening?
Yeah,
you zone out, don't you, as a person?
Oh yeah, you're completely blind to it.
Yeah.
And I think when when I started watching football, so a lot of my wife's family are obviously American. They only really ever started watching football because they knew that I liked it. They would always pull that up. Why are they doing that?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's obviously because they want to try and draw a foul or get a decision, but generally speaking, it's not always that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer took it well anyway, so he was fine with it. And I bet Jose Mourinho didn't know what to think, because obviously, does he love Spurs more than he loves Scott McTominay? Arguably not, actually.
Hard for him.
Not definite. It's not an open and shut case.
Was that not just a neg, though, when he... what was it he called him? Manager's Player of the Year.
He invented a
special prize.
He invented an award specifically for Scott McTominay out of pettiness.
Yes.
And if you are going to criticise that in this studio, you're dead to me. Yeah. Because that is exactly the kind of thing we're after.
I love it. But it doesn't, I would say it doesn't prove that he loves Scott McTominay.
It's a shame that
he loves shithousing.
He does. And it's a shame he's not carried that over to Spurs, although maybe he will do that this season. But I mean, the things Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said, and I think we should take some time to talk about how good Man United were at some point as well. But firstly, he said that if his son went down like that and got 10 of his mates to huddle around him, then he wouldn't give him any food.
Yeah.
And
he said that in multiple post-match interviews as well.
He's had ages to think about it.
That's the weird thing about manager press conferences, isn't it? I remember when I was doing my first ever one, you know, in the tunnel for BBC London, and you go in and I thought I'd got the best line ever, and then I discovered that Mourinho was saying exactly the same thing to everybody.
Yeah.
I thought I'd really drawn him out of his shell.
I mean, that from Ole wasn't the best line ever.
No.
It
feels a bit like in the thick of it when they're trying to get the MPs to not say things. Like they have actual speech writers. And I think managers probably need to get that, because there's so much attention on it now.
Yeah.
Don't deprive children of food.
Yeah.
And also don't walk into Jose Mourinho's trap.
Exactly. Give Jose Mourinho Jose Mourinho spent the next 5 minutes talking about how lucky Sonny is to have a really nice father.
I honestly look like a good guy. I'm such a good guy. I feed my kids.
I was so disappointed in Jose after the game, because it was actually quite a drab post-match for me. I was like, and then Ollie's just chucked him that. Yeah. Marcus Rashford in the background going, boss, can I have a word? Jose as well, after the game, said Sonny is very lucky that his father is a better person than Ollie. Because as a father, you always have to feed your kids. It doesn't matter what they do. If you have to steal to feed your kid, you steal. I've told Ollie what I think about his comments.
But you always
you've dadded
have
him.
To feed your kids. You always have to.
Yeah.
Between you and me, you always
have
to.
Honestly, I'm a father. They say that on the first day. You must feed this kid. It needs food. What do they need? Definitely food.
Yeah. It's the main thing. One of the main things.
Day one. But can I please take a chance just to say that how much I really enjoy watching Edison Cavani play? Because his movement is absolutely unreal. Now, I know he had his goal disallowed, but the goal it wasn't disallowed was a beauty as well.
Ah, the diving header.
Yeah, great.
I don't ever feel as though there are enough diving headers.
Absolutely.
Like, even if there were 10 in a week.
More.
It's great. The ones where the player hasn't even got to break the stride is amazing. And also, it is worth pointing out, and then we referenced the Tarkowski thing, which we'll come on to later. There was, for Manchester United's third goal, Paul Pogba does exactly the same thing to a Spurs player, and the Spurs player doesn't go down. It flicks his hand out, and he's trying to be tackled, and the player didn't go down. It wasn't even checked. It wasn't even checked. So the consistency thing here is a real problem. And fair enough, it's the first knockings of having VAR in football. And you'd expect it to improve. But, I mean, it has to improve pretty quick.
Yeah.
It has to.
I think it's worth pointing out on the second goal as well, what an amazing bit of play that was. The ball from Fernandes to Greenwood, then the accuracy of that cross was beautiful. And Paul Pogba had an excellent game as well.
What United did, which I really liked in real time, you could see it happen. They just slowly ramped up the pressure.
Yeah.
And they slowly just reacted to Spurs, as I said, ceding control, and just slowly ramped up and pushed it more and more and more, and were able to come away quite worthy winners.
Yeah. The fact is, any fucker can tell you that that's what Tottenham are going to do these days for reasons, as Luke says, best known to themselves.
I told you, it's tying the player's shoes on the wrong feet in the second half.
Yeah, that is difficult.
They've
seen it happen before.
Have
happens
you?
At every level.
Man United look like they're enjoying themselves, though, didn't they? Which is
how do you think about that?
It's quite a nice thing to see in lockdown football, because it's been quite sterile, wasn't it?
It's because they're a Sir Alex Ferguson tribute band, aren't they?
Indeed.
So they'll play like that.
They'll come back,
they'll score late goals, but they're going to come second because it's not quite the real thing.
Yeah, I like it. Look.
Absolutely.
So are you happy? Have we done that enough? Are you happy?
Yeah, you can move us on now.
Move us on from the grey fraud.
He was bald at one point, wasn't he? Shaved his head, Mourinho.
He was.
Oh, yeah. Was that a lockdown thing?
It's when he was living in the back of his car at Real Madrid. We had a proper
meltdown. I thought he had... I thought he shaved it in lockdown.
Might have done it recently
maybe
as well. He probably did.
Yeah, because everyone went, quite a lot of people, you guys didn't go through that phase. Did you consider the old?
No, because I don't have the inbuilt confidence of Jose Mourinho. And when you get to my age, you're worried it's not going to grow back. So you've got to keep hold of it as long as you can. I tie a knot in it at night so it doesn't go anywhere.
You tie a knot in it?
Yeah, yeah.
I really enjoyed the Man City game, which is not something I really ever say, but it wasn't really because of Man City. It was because of Leeds, who are bloody amazing. Yeah. A double from Stuart Dallas.
Yeah.
And they only had 10 players for half of the game.
That's brilliant.
What level is this of what football game?
Yeah, it was just like, that happens with City sometimes, doesn't it? They just sort of, they run out of steam a little bit. Maybe it's because of the high intensity of their game, but if it just doesn't click, you sometimes get a mad result like this.
If you thought that foul on Son was a foul, presumably you're sending Liam Cooper to The Hague, are you, for that tackle? You must have been absolutely stunned to see it.
I didn't like that. I thought that was a very unpleasant tackle.
It was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. But
he
nearly
detached his kneecap from his leg.
It was bad. It was very, very bad.
I don't know what touches he was. You know, babies don't have kneecaps. I learned that yesterday.
Huh. I did not know that.
I guess they grow over time.
No. I wasn't particularly enthused by the idea that Andre Mariner needed the VAR to see it. He was looking right at it. What's happened here? They've had their confidence undermined so
trust
much.
Trust yourself, Mariner.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it in the same way that now that, you know, you might be watching a TV show that you're really, really into, but also you don't mind having a little look at your phone because you know you can just rewind it?
Yeah, it is a bit like
a similar
that.
Thing.
And you know what? I found myself getting angry with myself fairly recently. I was rewatching Gamora, which is obviously Neapolitan subtitled. And so there's a new series going to come out later this year. So I wanted to get up to speed with it again. And you cannot do what you just described as subtitles.
No.
My God. It takes you about 3 hours to get through an episode because you can't listen.
Mm.
So, yeah, you've got to put your phone away on that. So it's a good analogy, though. I like it. Yeah. I also like the fact in this game, Kate, that the reason that Leeds were able to win is because Man City were pushing and pushing and pushing to win themselves, even though they've probably got the league sewn up, which is a credit to them.
Yeah.
And they got caught out because they got caught out before that as well, didn't they? Before they conceded the winner. I think it was Rafinha who went through and could have scored. It was just a great game. Great game to watch.
It was so good. Leeds had 2 shots.
Yeah.
And 10 players.
Yeah, that's all you need. And the postscript might be that Bielsa is going to sign up on the new deal.
For 2 years, apparently.
More than 1 year, yeah. That's so flair, isn't it?
It's great.
I only like the deal in periods of a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that about?
I mean, it makes
I don't
me
want to
a
be
little
tied
bit
down.
Guardiola used to be like that. Rolling deal at Barcelona, didn't he?
He is married, though, isn't he, Bielsa? I mean,
it just feels
like a guy who, you know, why can't you commit for more than a year, mate? What's your deal?
This is like Kate saying, telling us more about herself. Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to carry on exploring this kind of conversation?
About that.
Yeah, get angry on other people's behalf that Marcelo Bielsa, a man in his mid-60s, won't commit. Has he got a wife? What does this tell us about him?
I liked how Stuart Dallas said, I just took one touch and then closed my eyes and hit it. You better at anything with your eyes closed.
Pep fairy tale.
Pep would be angry at that.
Yeah.
I think it's a great result for Pep, isn't it? Great result for Pep.
Well, I mean,
been looking forward to this for ages. Yeah, the best thing that could have happened to him.
Just happy to observe Bielsa at close quarters. He'll be deliberately getting someone sent off in the next game to see if they can replicate that.
He gave him a big hug at the end. I know they're friends, but he gave him a big hug, not befitting the fact that you're a manager of the other team who's just been beaten by
He's not friends. He's his acolyte, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah. They watch VHS videos together.
But you can't try and get in Pep's head. Like the other weekend, he was asked about whether he thinks Aguero can hit top form after injury, right? And he said, I'm sorry, I'm not a person who can see far away for more than 1 week. Like, you can see a week into the future,
wow.
And you think that's not really a big deal.
And you're just a football manager. Use this for genuine good.
I guess a week is useful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean,
useful.
Even an hour, Kate. Like,
yeah. Kate, really useful. Let me put it another way. Any event that's ever happened, you can see in advance. He's using that to clear up trophies in football, which admittedly is the most important of all the sports, but it's still quite small fry given that the skill he's been given by God.
So how did Dallas score that second goal then?
Well, exactly.
Pep was probably so distracted by Bielsa, his power's waning.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, I loved it. I mean, they didn't win on XG, did they? So, you know.
Is that the main thing?
Probably is the main thing. Mm. Alan Saint-Maximin beat Burnley. That was exciting, wasn't it? 2-1.
Do you see he seemed to celebrate as he came off the bench? He sort of like, held his hand up like he was like doing Alan Shearer's goal celebration. Maybe he can see him into the future as well.
They all have to do that. It's part of the deal that when Alan Shearer left the club, he was so important for them that everyone has to do an impression of Alan Shearer when they play for Newcastle at some point during the day.
Mm. He said afterwards, ASM, he said, "I make a joke with Willock. I say, you will see I will do it. That is what I will do," with regards to scoring with his left foot, I think.
Is that a joke?
Yeah, it's not much of a joke,
is it? I don't think it is what a joke is. What's a joke?
Yeah.
Jim?
So we asked the Jim.
It's supposed to be a surprise. So I suppose Newcastle scoring and winning is a surprise. Technically it's a joke.
Is it also quite easy to see why Newcastle are having the problems they're having when Steve Bruce is confused about the results they're getting? That was disappointing, wasn't it? Yeah. If he was the manager of my club. I like Steve Bruce. He seems like a lovely fella. I actually was thumbing through a 50th anniversary shoot annual yesterday. And I had Steve Bruce in there when he was a Norwich player and really short shorts on. And he was being interviewed. You know, back in the day, for younger listeners, they might not be aware of this, but football media used to essentially extend to weekly magazines asking footballers about their favourite bands and stuff. Yeah. And Steve Bruce came across as a lovely fella in that. I'm sure he's nice, but you cannot get the results that your own team has been picking up wrong in interviews. To me, that is...
I'm not sure he... That's
well,
exactly
people have been generous
happened.
In their interpretation about it. What did he tell us? Because people have been generous.
Jim doesn't think that either. Do you?
Well, I think he was talking. He's doing like an equally weird thing, though. Because, right, he said back to back wins in the Premier League is huge and sets us up nicely, right? So we're thinking. They haven't got back to back wins. Did he think they beat Spurs?
If they were to have back to back wins, that would be huge.
Yeah, because he's looking ahead at the next game, isn't he?
Well, you might as well say winning the title be huge.
Exactly. Either way, it's weird.
Yeah. People have said, so the interpretation of this exact quote, Jim, is that people are asking whether he thought, because they scored such a late goal against Spurs to get a draw, that it felt like a win. And in his mind, he's processed it as a win. If so, that's very sweet, actually, and good for him, but it's not correct.
You need to live in the real world.
Well, maybe
what, is that me or Steve?
Maybe
they're both are probably true.
This is an intervention. Maybe you thought it was a podcast recording.
Maybe no Pep told him that they're going to win next week, because obviously he knows.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. ASM was so great.
Well, his goal
wasn't
was a beauty.
He? And also, it was basically his first touch, that little, comes on, couple of dummies, supplies Jacob Murphy.
Yeah. He's brilliant. I mean, Jermaine Genus was saying on Match of the Day that they need to be very careful with Callum Wilson and ASM and sort of wrap them in cotton wool a bit and be careful with them. I think the opposite is true. I think you need to get them a flat in the red zone. Bad luck. You're playing every minute of every game because you're two good players, basically.
ASM's injury record is abysmal. I mean, it's been terrible. I don't know why, but if you look at his record, picked up so many injuries, missed so many games since he signed. Callum Wilson's obviously got a bit of history of injuries as well. So if you've got your two best players, which they are, effectively, you never know whether they're going to be able to be available or not. It's very, very difficult.
They sort of knew that about Wilson, didn't they? I was just going to say, I really like the way about Alan Saint-Maximin runs. It's very definite. Mm. But now I wonder if that might be part of the...
Maybe it's the problem.
Yeah,
maybe
it's too explosive.
Yeah, maybe. That James Tarkowski kick to the head was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I know sometimes that people who are listening to our show get upset when we talk a lot about refereeing decisions and stuff. So I'll try and keep this mercifully brief. Mm. I don't know what they're seeing there. I don't know how you can get the opportunity to look at that on a video again and go, that's not a foul. Mm. It's not even open to interpretation. You can't kick someone in the head that high.
Debate is better when everyone disagrees, isn't
it?
Mm. Also, I mean,
serious statement, wasn't it?
But the thing with it is, am I right in thinking that it was the logic was that because Longstaff put his head down,
but he didn't really.
No, exactly. If he hadn't put his head down, that is sort of like a kick to the chin, which is surely also a foul.
But if you put your head down there and you head the ball away, and I come up and boot you in the head.
Yeah,
it's not a foul.
But even then, it wasn't.
It's getting quite into that in my mind.
Then. Yeah, but it wasn't even as kind of there wasn't even as much of a kind of grey area as you've just described in that situation.
No, there wasn't.
It was a lot clearer than that.
No, yeah,
I don't think people's faces should be touched at all.
Yeah, you said
yeah, we know
so
that.
So we're in.
That was more of a plea the way you said that.
So it's inconsistent, and it's good that you've come around to my perspective that the foul on Son was a foul.
Sure. Yeah.
They were the same incident as far as like having a single peanut and having a 3-course Michelin star meal is technically eating.
That's true, but if you've got a peanut allergy,
well, now you're dicing with death. Literally.
Exactly. Yeah. That's an equivalent.
Yeah. Best not to feed your kids just in case, I suppose. Is that the take home? Yeah. Well, I've got confused.
Oh, I'm not feeding my kids because they might be allergic to everything. You can't do that.
Should probably say also that Scott Parker watched his side concede in the 92nd minute to Wolves and Adama Traore, his first goal since December 2019, which basically, given that Newcastle have a game in hand over them and won this, means it feels like
a particularly decisive weekend for that part of the table. Yeah, because game in hand for Newcastle, and they're now 6 points ahead of Fulham. And Marcus will tell you if you ever give them a chance, they just don't score enough goals.
Yeah, as simple as that. You know, we already know that Newcastle win their next game as well. So,
oh, yes!
Exactly, it's a good point. Back to back wins.
I've done the maths wrong.
Yeah, back to back wins. Yeah.
All right, we'll go and rework that out while we get to a break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Gleeson has the ball and dims it in towards the penalty area. Brennan Camp does a very good job there of holding Maycock.
I know we had it on Thursday. God. Was it Thursday?
Yeah. But there was a lobbying. There was a lobbying effort by us to be able to use that again.
Really?
Says it in such a definite way.
But he makes it worse by referring to it.
Yeah.
He could have just carried on.
Oh, yeah. Do you think so? He should have just.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that Eric Cantona one, which is the OG for me.
What's that?
Right, the presenter that accidentally drops a C-bomb.
Oh, yeah.
You find it on YouTube. It's amazing. Yeah, yeah. You can hear his the full ambition for his career just fade in his voice when he repeats himself.
John Inverdale's done a few as well. Like, for some reason, John Inverdale's done like a load of them. One of them where he's supposed to say rose-tinted glasses, and he said rose glasses. And
how do you do that?
Exactly.
I once
interviewed for Ramble Meets, and I won't tell the name because it'll be unfair, but I'm sure people can work it out. I interviewed another broadcaster.
Not unfair, then.
About how difficult it can be to not swear on air and everything like that. And I asked a long question about it, and he just went straight away, obviously you're referring to Invers, are you? I wasn't actually, but I mean, yeah. So he must have had a reputation.
Brilliant. I feel like Inverdale will just retire this week, so you know.
Did he?
Congrats on your
great
retirement.
Great career.
Maybe someone else will step up to the breach.
Yeah, maybe they will.
Is that a hint?
Yeah. not a very obscure hint, is it? He's used her actual surname.
Yeah. Yes.
Everyone knows Jules is sweary.
She is sweary. Yeah. It's one of the many reasons why we love her.
Yeah.
All right, let's give you your Betway Forward to Score update. Entry to Betway's Forward to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections pretty obviously, are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Here is how we got on. Game one was Burnley against Newcastle. Marcus picked no goal scorer. What a door man.
I think that's probably reasonable.
Fair. I mean, yeah.
It's pretty fair, yeah.
Wasn't the game
lasted about 15 minutes, sadly, yeah, before the goal went in by Vidra.
Matty Vidra was the boy for that. Game two, West Ham against Leicester. Andy picked Thomas Suchek. The result, how could we not have known? J-Lings. Spurs Man United was game three. Sweary Jules picked Edinson Cavani. Good idea. It was Heung-Min Son.
It should have been Cavani. Let's put it absolutely clear. Give Jules her credit. I mean, it should have been Cavani. Another day that would have been Cavani.
We have to do this again. Game four, Sheffield United against Arsenal. Sunday, the 7 o'clock kickoff. Luke, you picked Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, which is a bit of a reckless choice these days.
Well, my rationale for that was absolutely sound, which was I spent the whole of Friday slagging him off. So obviously he was going to court score at the weekend. Mm. Then he got flu. Didn't he?
Did he?
But wow, okay.
Attitude flu.
It was available selection, yeah.
It's a bit of a weird thing to play. Very anyway, weird. Yeah.
Lacazette scored, didn't he?
Flu at the moment. Yes, Alexander Lacazette was the man with that goal. We'll be back with another round of Betway's Four to Score on the previous show this Friday. Now it's time for emails. And what that means at the moment is that it's time for another email jingle. Here is the notes that we've had along with this delectable selection. All this talk of Jim being a hunk and a dish. Jim?
Dish? Do people still say that?
We say it.
Jim's definitely a dish.
Has got me thinking, what is it about him that sets the pulses racing? I've decided that his hair is probably playing a big part, and so would like to find out which barber he'd recommend so that I can channel those AVB vibes when they're open again. All right. Here he is.
Rumble. Show at footballramble.com.
Massive beta band vibes there.
Yeah,
that's the
much
beta
so.
Band.
Yeah.
And also, who's that from? Melly Evans, did you say? Yeah.
Brilliant. A bit of a barbershop vibe to it as well.
Oh,
appropriate
clever.
Enough. It's deliberate. But yeah, my hair, this is going to sound like a joke, but my hair is genuinely cut by a comedian who's also a barber.
Out of work?
It's ELP. I mean, everyone is at the moment.
True.
Yeah, it's ELP Barbers in Angel. And they have a dog. He's called Vinny. He's wicked. And Pete Donaldson also sometimes gets his hair cut there, or certainly has done in the past.
There
so you
go.
Never know.
It's the Ramble official barbers.
Exactly, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Very good.
Do you think he'd do mine?
Emma, who also works there, would certainly do yours, yes.
Great.
So, yeah, they're very good.
I'm glad we've all
but got also, them. I mean, you know, there's a lot of hair product involved as well. And you've got to squish to condition as well if you want curly hair.
And yours? Yeah. You're doing a lot of products at the moment, are you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would be a frizzy nightmare otherwise. You've seen my hair in the past when it's this long. Didn't look like this, did it?
No. It looks really curly now. I just noticed that. Amid all this furniture, we've actually got to do an email.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
Russell Brand, is that what it's starting to look like?
Let's never not talk about him. Joe Ryan's been in touch on the subject of streakers. In a local derby between Burnley and Preston at Turf Moor, approximately 98-99, a streaker ran onto the pitch and managed to evade capture by a few stewards. As he sprinted down the field, narrowly escaping another steward, the Burnley mascot Bertie B runs onto the pitch, sets himself up in the streaker's path, goes headfirst into the streaker's midsection, gets him over his shoulders and backdrops him onto the ground akin to a WWE-style Samoan drop. Bertie then gestured to the crowd and performed the worm in front of the dugouts. Another streaking incident happened a few years later against Preston at Turf Moor when at 2-0 up, a chap ran onto the pitch with 2-0 written across his arse in black marker and mooned it to the Preston fans. Not quite as electrifying as the Bertie B incident, but noteworthy nonetheless. The streaker at Granada apparently hid underneath a canvas in the stadium 14 hours before kickoff as well.
That's amazing.
There's a lot to process
commitment.
There.
Mm. Yeah, that's an amazing bit of commitment.
Bertie B as a mascot at Burnley, that's weird.
Yeah.
Their nickname's not the Bees or anything.
No, that is a strange one. Mm. There's a lot of weird ones about like that.
True.
Like Bradford had the City Gent. I know we talk about him a lot.
Yeah.
But he had a briefcase and a big pie. And I think they sacked... he lost loads of weight because he had diabetes and they sacked him. They sacked him because he no longer represented the values of the City Gent. It's so weird.
Obesity.
It's bad. That is
really
bad.
Odd.
Yeah. Kate's lost it. She's just saying obesity to the mic.
I don't, Joe, then sets himself up in the streaker's path, goes headfirst into the streaker's midsection. Where would you say the midsection is? Because I'm concerned.
You're thinking,
I'm
the exact centre might be.
No, it's not. Midsection's here. That's your midsection right there. Obviously, Joe's probably a big WWE fan because he's referenced wrestling there. And he's also used the term midsection, which is used a lot in wrestling commentary.
It's a W that got it. Okay, cool, because I was a bit concerned.
Not in the pit. It's not the penis. That's not the midsection.
Can't be how you envision your streak, is it? No. But I suppose, I don't know what people really want from a streak.
The streaker we spoke about last week, the Granada one, which you referenced at the end, Jim, he hid in the stadium 14 hours before kickoff.
Yeah. I like my streakers committed.
To then streak in an empty stadium. Mm. I mean, if you're that bothered about it, wait till the fans come back.
I think that the camera didn't manage to get away from the streaker quickly enough, so I think he got quite a lot of airtime.
Yeah.
I don't like it when the camera pans away.
You want to see it?
Well, I just think it was a bit of fun, isn't it?
I mean, I think they don't want to encourage the naked people.
Is it a bit of fun or is it a mass flashing?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's true, but true, fair enough. But the point is, just that, you know, as soon as the camera pans away, everyone now knows there's a streaker. So, and given
well, that could be like a grotesque injury. Or
second something. Screen and everything. Everyone's going to find out what's happening. Mm. Everyone's going to find
streaking
out.
Yeah.
We were doing the updates. I was saying this earlier. We were doing the updates on Sky and, oh no, that's a bit of a giveaway, isn't it? But anyway, first time I was on there, it kept me like, Streaker. I don't know. I was sad we weren't able to discuss it.
Yeah, fair enough.
But presumably, that's not professional.
I'm not suggesting we normalise it. I'm suggesting that we all grow up a bit and understand.
Everyone's seen a penis.
Exactly. Saw one this morning.
All in all. What are you talking about, Jim? Bit harsh. All right, let's. showatfootballramble.com. Shall I play the jingle again?
Yeah, why not? It's a new one.
He's made big effort, so thank you for this one.
Rumble,
show football, run, show football. I want to know which round the jingle goes to, so I'm sending you a quality jingle.
Show at footballrumble.com.
Flight of the Conchords a bit, isn't it? Yeah, I like it. But do you think it's all him?
Could be.
That's very impressive, Manet Evans. Thank you so much for that. West Ham beat Leicester 3-2, but the most dangerous lead in football is West Ham being 3-0 up, apparently.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. David Moyes, we've got to get out of the habit of going 3-0 up and conceding goals. I've made the players aware.
Yeah. Sometimes, though, that West Ham would have a habit of not going 3-0 up and conceding goals. So it's definitely an improvement on that era.
Yes.
Great point.
It's ideal, really, in a way. Jesse Lingard's effectively equaled his best tally for a whole season ever in a few months.
He's created a real problem for me, Jesse Lingard, because I'm doing an England show with Marcus every week.
Oh,
and it's I'm getting smaller and smaller amounts of real estate within which to operate.
Yeah.
Conversationally around Jesse Lingard. At some point, I'm going to have to do a massive vault pass.
I'm really, really on the Grealish bus. And if it gets knocked off the road by the Lingard bus, I'm going to swear a lot.
Yeah,
out my window again.
Yeah, it's hard to think of, because he's got to pick players on form. We've talked about that. I know this isn't really the time for an England chat, but he has to pick players on form. And if Lingard carries on doing what he's doing, he's going to make it very difficult for Gareth to leave him out. And one thing I really was upset about here is that he stole the limelight from Mike Dean, which is disappointing.
Yeah, there'll be payback for that.
Mm. But on a more serious note, I mean, if I was a Leicester fan, I'd be absolutely fuming by the situation around this game, a key point in the season, given what happened with Leicester re-Champions League qualification last season.
Yeah.
I understand that, you know, Ayoze Perez and Hamza Choudhury aren't necessarily as key as James Maddison is. But players doing that, making idiotic decisions, can't be too harsh on them. I know they're young and all the rest of it. People make mistakes. But Brendan Rodgers was put in such a position there where he really had to uphold the standards that all the squad, as far as we understand it, had signed up to re-breaking COVID protocol. He couldn't pick the team he wanted to pick because of it.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not saying that's why Leicester lost the game. West Ham are a good team. We know that. But it's a ridiculously idiotic decision to make at a ridiculous time. And it could really hurt Leicester, this. It could really hurt them.
So massively. It seems as though they had a conversation, the way it was set out as well, was that Brendan Rodgers had a conversation about how you had to be extra specially careful at the moment. And then from what has come out subsequently, it seems as though Maddison, Choudhury, Perez, Harvey Barnes were at like a house party altogether. So it was a COVID breach, basically. And Brendan Rodgers, he said it was his decision, but I don't see how you can pick people.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, he's apparently heard about the party, got in touch with them, and they've made everyone hide in the dark and pretend they're not there when there are like clearly like footballers' cars outside. Like it's clownish.
Maybe they came on their unicycle. Maybe that's how they were hoping to get away with it.
Well, I'm always really impressed with Rodgers. I mean, the way he dealt with it, I thought was fantastic. He said, it was on the BBC, I think he was quoted as saying that look, we set up the standards. We told the players what's expected of them. They've fallen short of this standard. It's nothing personal, but it means they can't be selected. The problem is it hurts the team. It hurts his reputation. It hurts their achievements. It hurts their chances.
It hurts Maddison's chances of going to the Euros, potentially. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's very, very disappointing.
And also, I guess Maddison and Perez only just back from injury, really. So just sort of adding insult to that.
Yeah.
I mean, the timing, for so many reasons, it couldn't really be worse, particularly because... you know, this is so close to the stage of the season last year when it fell apart and they lost out. And also playing against West Ham. I mean, you look at Chelsea motoring up the league. You know, they've had a little bit of a blip recently, but you think that under Tuchel, they look like they've got, you know, relentlessness in them.
Yeah.
Liverpool as well.
Playing well again.
Won the last three games in a row, so they're motoring up the table.
Tottenham, West Ham, obviously, as well.
Yeah. Tottenham are a team.
Play the same league.
Yeah.
Fine for you to bring them in.
West Ham are the team they need to get one over on. You know, they're the one they need to sort of, you know, whose head they need to hold under the water while they swim to safety.
Yeah.
And they've just missed that opportunity, and this contributes to that.
Yeah. It's a delightful insight into your mindset there. Yeah. Yeah,
for me as well. I don't really know where that came from.
Yeah, you surprised yourself with that. Never been a shipwreck with Jim, everyone. There's no need for you to kill me.
It's not going to be up to them.
There's strength in numbers. No, get down there. So yeah, it's right. It's a really competitive. That's going to be the most exciting part of the table in the next 8 games or whatever it is that's left.
Yeah,
and that is just such a poor result for them. So poor.
But you're not saying, we don't think that they necessarily win if those players...
I'm not saying that. You can never know, will you?
It's almost impossible to say,
Let's
agree that it's not
available.
Amazing preparation.
It's not amazing preparation. No. If some people are not allowed to turn up to play a game. I really like the Alex Scott's analysis of the kind of speed and drive of the West Ham counter-attack on Match of the Day last night. It was cool the way that they've turned things around in 10 seconds. They kept showing it. That's exactly cutting to the heart of what West Ham are doing so well.
It's fascinating to me because you don't expect, rightly or wrongly, and probably wrongly actually, you don't expect a David Moyes team to be like that because of the path he's had since he left Everton. He's developed this reputation, which is as it is, and I think we're still kind of being a bit surprised about how West Ham can do that kind of thing. Mm. But if you look at the players they've got, they've signed well, they've got pace, they've got confident players. Jarrod Bowen was a really hot property coming out of the Championship, you know, and he was fantastic. Lingard, we all know what Lingard's done. You know, the two players they've signed, Souček and Koufal, have done really well. The fact is, West Ham did that, had that game sewn up effectively in such a short amount of time without Declan Rice, who's been one of the best players in the Premier League this season as well. So they really are pumping West Ham. They're buzzing. They are.
And if you compare it as well to the money they spent previously before Moyes came in on, like, what was it, 45 million on Alaire?
We haven't mentioned the Dildo brothers all season.
No. Yeah, it's
really odd,
which is
isn't
pretty
it?
Amazing because apparently we're not going to praise them if they do really well.
Well done, Dildo brothers. Here is your praise. Yeah.
But they literally can't win. They get no coverage if they do well. Yeah.
But Moyes is right to talk about them conceding, though, isn't he? Because
yes, he was grumpy at the end.
You know, given what we've just spoken about with Chelsea and Liverpool. It could really come back to bite them if they don't tighten that up. Obviously, Rice missing it probably plays a big part in that, but still.
Well, I think it's also a symptom of how the game panned out, right? Because Leicester had a lot of the ball, which you'd probably expect, and they had a lot more shots. And so it wasn't like a cut and dried West Ham had the game while then that was that. There was always that opportunity. And Leicester, I suppose, probably thought, well, West Ham have got precedent for this, so we're not out of the game yet. So that kind of played into it as well. But ultimately, they closed it out, and they look really, really good now. I mean, it's going to be competitive, as we said, but they play Newcastle next. The massive game for them after that for West Ham is when they play Chelsea at home. That'll tell us everything we want to know, because after that, they play Burnley, and I think they've still got Brighton and West Brom and Southampton at home to play. So they've definitely got the points there for them if they want it.
Mm. Tasty. Before, let's not get out of here without talking about Colchester's chairman, Robbie Cowling.
Yeah.
Please.
This was astonishingly honest.
I don't know what... I didn't really
and
follow...
Sometimes honesty is not an amazing thing.
I didn't really follow the lead up to this statement, but the statement... I mean, you don't actually need to really know any of the context. The statement reads, I never called Mark a... Do I say the words? I think it said effing C in the statement. After a tirade of abuse from him, I did call him a swear word beginning with W.
There's only one.
Wally.
Yeah, no, there's only one, Jim, and it is quite literally wanker.
Other than that, I think I handled the disgruntled employee situation pretty well.
Other than that, how did you enjoy the theatre, Mrs. Lincoln?
As long as you're happy, Robbie. I know many of you may consider me to be a lousy chairman, but I'd like... to think you've found me to be an honest, lousy chairman. I actually quite like that as an attitude.
Again, yeah.
I don't think he's going to thrive in this role.
Apparently, according to reports in the newspapers, CCTV footage showed Mr. Harris, the subject of the investigation, reacted to Mr. Cowling by turning back and barging into him stomach first.
Stomach?
Yeah, Bertie.
Could have been
Bertie B. Could have been Bertie B out of costume on a day off.
Can you show me that? Can you do a little?
Not
how
here.
Do you think you do it?
Just, I mean, if you've got a big belly, just...
I haven't seen the man. It's
no, I haven't either.
A gut push.
Yeah,
I guess so.
It's like a gut punch, but with your gut.
Of all the people in this room, I think I'm most authoritative on this issue. I think you just stick your belly out and just give them a...
It's more like a lunge, like a thrust, like a...
A thrust, yeah.
One of the strangest parts of your body you can use to hit someone with. Surely, like the small of your back is probably the only one that's less convenient.
But I think if you're squaring up to someone and you're going like...
If you're squaring up to someone,
no, I'm just saying, if you're going like face to face with someone and the belly... I'm not saying the belly is large, I don't know the guy.
Right.
If the belly is large, it's naturally going to hit him first, so you might as well take advantage of that.
I guess, but didn't you say that he turned his back?
No, turned back around.
Right.
According to the newspaper report of the CCTV footage, it's out there.
What a bizarre fight.
Jim doesn't square up to people who just holds their head underwater.
Underwater,
so
yeah.
It's not...
Can you come with me to the bathroom a minute?
Yeah. I'm swimming to Champions League Island and you're not coming with me.
Also, how is Jim swimming while putting their head under? He's taking them with him. He's taking them with him while drowning. It's an active drowning. As far as Jim's concerned.
Elsewhere in League 2, Grimsby player Stephen Payne was sent off for headbutting teammate Philippe Moraes during a defeat at Bradford on Saturday.
See, if it's a belly butt, what happens? Does the player go down? Are we having the same conversation we're having about Son?
If you get into the same postcode as someone, we're calling Decatur, it's a foul, so you want to ask her about it.
Is it a belly butt? Would that be that be belly to head?
Could be.
Belly to head.
Apparently the Grimsby manager, Paul Hurst, called the incident completely unforgivable and said that I cannot, it's something you just cannot defend. They've let the club down, the pair of them. One of them just got headbutted. So although I haven't seen the incident, so there could be more to it. But he's intimated that the headbutter, not the headbuttee, the headbutter may not play for the club again this season.
Wow.
Ooh.
I mean,
you shouldn't really punch the head. You shouldn't really punish the headbuttee, should you?
Well, I looked.
That's
for the
kind of victim blaming.
I couldn't find a video of the incident, so I can't tell you what the preamble was.
Yeah, I saw it, and it was very. It wasn't you know Dyer and Bowyer, but what will ever be?
No.
You know,
no.
So it's silly to compare.
The best.
A headbutt's a weird choice as well, because to headbutt someone, you basically have to headbutt yourself with their head.
Yeah,
it's such an odd choice of weapon. A head.
Yeah. Yeah. Sensitive, vulnerable. It's got your brain in it.
Oh.
It's true.
I don't know if this guy's. I don't know if that's where this guy keeps his brain.
Oh.
One for you. Last one for you as well, Luke. A contender for the death of football derby. Which one is that for you? Portsmouth v.
Wickham Wanderers.
Wickham Wanderers.
Yeah. Across a specific period of time.
Okay, you're not saying you're not writing it off forever.
No, I just
which
thought
is
at
nice.
The time it was when Portsmouth and Wickham were both fan owned. They were both, I think, in League Two. None of them really had any players you could consider to be professional footballers as we all understand them. And it was a Tuesday night game, minus temperatures. And I think if a different alien race came down and saw that, they would say, just stop doing that. You're wasting everyone's time. How can this be a version of the most popular sport in history? Because that is nothing. The only highlight of that game in particular was Gary Doherty playing at the back for Wickham. And he had a bald patch at the crown, and all four sides of the ground, because the game was so boring, were singing egg in a nest, egg in a nest, Gary Doherty, egg in a nest.
Well, I guess in this one that I'm bringing to the table, Birmingham's 2-0 win over Stoke on Sunday, I guess there weren't even people able to try and liven it up by singing things. There were only 226 completed passes in the entire game, which is, fact fans, an average of 2.5 passes a minute.
What were they doing for that 2.5 minutes?
But it's,
or
but
for,
it's,
for that for most of that minute,
but,
rather.
But if you take into account the ball's only in play for the third of that time, right? It is only really about 30 minutes or something.
Yeah,
that's still only 7.5 passes a minute when the ball's always in play.
They're just long balls.
Must be
shanked about.
Yeah. If you think, Jim, and I'm disappointed if you do, you're looking at me now. You think I'll spend my Sunday watching Birmingham v Stoke despite doing a football podcast? You're wrong, mate.
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
I'm just speculating on what they might have been doing.
Yeah.
Were they doing something else as well?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Multitasking. Yeah.
Juggling.
Yeah. Doing pottery class.
Checking the pub timetable. Getting ready, cutting each other's hair. Yeah. Like, getting prepared for the week ahead.
Were a few of them on their phones?
Yeah, I think they might have been. They forgot to watch the subtitles.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, before we go, there's a brand new episode of Ramble Meets. It's out today over on Football Ramble Presents. Andy Brassel speaks to one of the brightest young managers in Europe, RB Salzburg's head coach, Jesse Marsh. They recount his journey from Wisconsin via MLS to RB Leipzig and now Salzburg, as well as talking about the misconceptions around American coaches and about coaching Erling Haaland, of all people. Listen and subscribe now over on Football Ramble Presents. You're off to do that now, aren't you, Luke?
Yes, I haven't heard it yet. I'm going to listen to it on the way home today.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Good stuff. I will take your smiling nod as an acknowledgement that you'll do the same,
indeed.
Jim.
Indeed. Jim's thinking about drowning someone, probably. Yeah.
I thought that was what
where will he go next?
Don't do that. Right, let's say goodbye, guys. It's Jules, Pete and Fish tomorrow. Bye, Jim.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Luke.
Goodbye.
See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.